Thank you, praise team, that we could worship the Lord with you in such an amazing way. Yeah. Sometimes you just want to say, like Brian said, brevity, let's go home now. We've worshipped. It's amazing, but then you might think that I did not prepare something for today. I'll have you home before one, so don't worry. And you'll have lunch in the back, so that's fine. C.S. Lewis is more known for his Narnia Chronicles, but he also wrote a few other books. One of the books that he wrote is this one called The Screwtape Letters, Letters from a Senior to a Junior Devil. I want to read you a little something from The Screwtape Letters. So Screwtape is a senior, and he's got this little junior that he needs to work with and mentor so that this little junior can take one of his subjects, which is us, and he's to get the subject to kind of stray from his faith walk with the Lord. So he does all kinds of things with him, and right now he's a little concerned because Wormwood is not doing such a good job with his subject. So he kind of writes to me, he says, listen, we're a little concerned about you, and we're concerned about the subject of yours because he's kind of turning back to the Lord, and we don't like that much. So we've got to do something about this. So he tells him to go to church and when subject goes as well, and let subject look at this and say, wow, look at this old, decrepit old building. Stained glass windows are not working that well anymore. The roof needs fixing. Damn, poor old place. When he gets in there, let him see the grocer and think, yeah, I saw you this week, and I kind of heard you say a few cuss words. And see the butcher and think, wow, you're a sweaty old guy. That's all you need to do, because at some stage, his heart will change, and he'll look at the people, and you'll have him back again, because that's the way he'll see the church. Then he writes, one of our great allies at present is the church itself. Do not misunderstand me. I do not mean the church as we see her, and now he explains how they see the church. Through all time and space and rooted in eternity, terrible as an army with banners. That, I confess, is a spectacle that makes even our boldest tempters uneasy. But fortunately, it's quite invisible to these humans. When your patient gets to his pew and looks around him, he sees just that selection of his neighbors whom he has hitherto avoided. You want to lean pretty heavily on those neighbors. Make his mind flit to and fro between an expression like the body of Christ and the actual faces in the next pew. Matters very little, of course, what kind of people that next pew really contains. You may know one of them to be a great warrior on the enemy, that's the devil's side. No matter, your patient, that thanks our God below, is a fool, provided that any of those neighbors sing out of tune or have boots that squeak or double chins or odd clothes, the patient will quite easily believe that their religion must therefore be somehow ridiculous. The reason I read that is because on this 135th anniversary, I want to talk about the church. The church, and Ted, there's a slide for this. Church with a capital C. Because I think it makes quite an interesting distinction between church capital C and church lowercase c. When he speaks about the church with a capital C, just do the next slide. Look again at those words that he uses. He says, it's the body of Christ spread out through all time and space, rooted in eternity, and scary, terribly scary, as an army that's coming at you with its banners flying, ready to get rid of you. Thanks, Dad. You can take it down. That's the church with a capital C. The church that we don't often see. Men, women, children, old people, young people. Washed in the blood of Christ, made new by Jesus Christ to live in this world and be part of God's vision and God's dream for this world. But unfortunately, what happens to so many of us is that we fall in the trap and we see the church lowercase c. Buildings, views, programs, people who dress funny, who look funny, who speak funny. Fortunately, when that happens, we miss God's vision. Let's talk about this capital C church for a second. I think often it happens to me. People look at me and say, you know what, Aubrey, I know you're a pastor, but I don't care much about church. I don't need church. I don't need to go to church to know Jesus. I don't need to go to church for my life to be good. I don't need to go to church to have a relationship with Jesus. You know what they write? Jesus never said, go to church. Never said, go to church. What he did say, though, was, follow me. Follow me. Do what I did. Live how I lived. Be my hands and feet. Be my eyes. Be my voice in this world. That's what he said. And many people did that. There were 12 of them that did this. But I think they got a little bit of a surprise about this church that they thought they had down pat. Because these guys start out with Jesus, and I can just see them imagining this, saying, holy smokes, look at this. We can go with Jesus, walk with him, see him do all these amazing things. We're even more privileged than the rest of you because we have front row seats. And there they go. And they see all this amazing stuff until one day, Jesus says, got to tell you something. And in that moment when Jesus says those words, everything changes. Their lives change. The world changes. You and I change. So read with me the words. Luke chapter 9, it's going to be on the screen. In chapter 6, just before we read this, because otherwise you won't understand. Chapter 6, he calls all his disciples, which were more than 12, a whole bunch of them. Verse 13, he calls them together, and then he picks 12, and he says, you'll be my apostles, those that I send. So this is what he does now with them. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God, to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. And whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. And if people do not welcome you, leave their town. Shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people. Then look at verse 10. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had. So here they set out. Front row seats. They're going to watch Jesus do all of this until the day that Jesus says, hold on, guys. Stop. This is not how it works. You've seen it all? Now it's your turn to go. Because you see, my friends, here's the thing about Church Capital C. Church Capital C is not a sit and watch. I've often said it in this church. The Holy Spirit of God has many gifts. But the one gift that the Holy Spirit of God does not have and does not give is the gift to sit in your butt and do nothing. The church is not a sit and watch movement. The church is a go and do movement. So go, guys. Hold on a second. What are we going to do? What should we do? Go do what you saw me do. Go care for people. Love. People are sick, heal them. If people are in need, pray for them. If people are lonely, care for them, love them, hold them. If people are hungry, you give them food, you feed them. If people are broken, take them, hold them, heal them with your care and your love. But go and do. But you'll have to provide us with a lot of stuff. Sorry, Dougie. With a lot of programs and all kinds of gifts and all kinds of books and all kinds of... That's better, right? You have to give us all of that stuff to go do the work. Jesus says, nothing. Nothing. No bags, No staff, no bread, no money, not even an extra shirt. Just go and do. Work. Go and do. Because the moment, church, you step out in faith, the moment you go into the streets, church, and you go do what you saw me do, stuff's going to happen that you have never seen happen before. They were in the desert. There was no food. And my Father gave manna. They were in the desert and they were dying of thirst. And my Father had a rock and the rock gave water. Nothing. Go without nothing. Just the next story in Luke chapter 9. 10,000 people. You always know of five, but there were women and children too. 10,000 on a mountain. Five loaves, two fish. Who ate? Who went hungry? No one went hungry. Take nothing. Just go be my church. And my Father will do miracles you cannot even begin to imagine. Through the ages, church has flourished. People were faithful to God's vision and dream, although they had. We have seen the church flourish where people have had so much, but they were humbled before God and became stewards of God and blessed this world. Unfortunately, sometimes church, lowercase, gets so caught up in all that it has that it becomes self-sufficient. Oh, if Jesus only had our resources, if Jesus only had all of our connections, if Jesus just only had all the people we had, boy, can you think what he would have been able to do? And what happened to that? It fell flat on its face. Do my work. Then they come back. Boy, I love this piece. They come back, verse 10 says, and they reported to Jesus everything that they had done. And I'm so angry that the Bible writers didn't write some of those stories because I can just hear them. Can you imagine Peter, loudmouth Peter? Lord, I want to tell you something. You think you healed my mother-in-law? I prayed for this other woman and she was healed. John, the quiet guy. He says, you know, I went and sat with a woman who was really in pain and her heart was broken. And as I spoke, I saw the Holy Spirit just come in her eyes and heal and make her brand new. And Andrew, the one who was always bringing people, Jesus, man, I can't tell you how many people just wanted to know about you and I could just share. But maybe there's a reason it wasn't written, because we would have fallen in the trap of having it all. We don't read the stories. What we actually do read, do yourself a favor this afternoon. It's cold. Take your Bible. Go find a nice little warm place. Read the rest of chapter 9 because it's so interesting. The rest of chapter 9 speaks about all of their failures. How they messed up. Just the story. After they come back, they go up on the mountain. People need food. What did the disciples say? Go home. They've just been doing miracles. Go home. His feet. A man brings his daughter, his boy, who is tormented. Disciples, we can't do anything. Jesus says, come, let me heal. They go up on the Mount of Transfiguration. What do? They start bickering amongst themselves. Who's going to be the greatest in this kingdom? Who's going to be number one and who's going to be number two? One failure after the other. They go to Samaria. They don't like the Samaritans. Samaritans are not so friendly to them. What do they say? Let's get some fire and brimstone from heaven. Let's get rid of these Samaritans. It's as if Luke wants to say, do you get the story? Do you get it, guys? It's not about perfection. It's not about all the wonderful things that you can do. It's not about all the wonderful things that you have. It's not about your resume. It's about leaving it all behind, taking nothing, going and doing, and let God do the work. So what does Jesus do? Let me take you to chapter 10, and I promise you it'll be done in 2 minutes. No, not two, a little more than that, maybe 20. Chapter 10, look what Jesus does. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go! See the word? Go! Not sit and watch. Go, for I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. He makes the circle a little bigger from the 12. The message is still the same. Go. Then he adds a little something. He says, pray. Pray for what? Pray because there's such a huge harvest. It's huge. John says the harvest is white in chapter 4. Harvest is white. Pray the Lord for great apostles, great warriors of faith. No, pray the Lord for workers to go into the harvest and to go work in the harvest. Because you see, here's the thing of Jesus, what Jesus does. Jesus has a heart for this world. Jesus has a heart for his creation, for his people in this world. And he looks at these people and they know they need a shepherd. And he needs us to go and be the workers that will point to the shepherd. Can you remember Matthew 9, verse 13? It says, when Jesus looked at the cloud, his heart was filled with compassion. Splachnitsomai is that beautiful Greek word. Heart was turned upside down because they were like sheep without a shepherd. There's a lot of sheep out there, friends. There's a lot of sheep out there. Marriages that on the outside look beautiful. So hurting. Broken. Need to hear. Wonderful executive that looks so beautiful when she walks in the office and she looks so competent. But at night when she gets home, she's in a dark place, and in the morning when she wakes up, doesn't know if she can make it through the day, but she has to put that. Young people in this world who do not know what to do. Young people who are looking for direction, and they don't know where to find direction, and they're struggling, and they're hurting, and we kind of just leave them. Young kids who grow up in a broken society with broken churches, with broken homes, have no adult to live. Two images, but you get it. All Jesus is saying, vision. Because here's the thing about the church, and there's a slide for this. Church is not a place where we go to. Church is always a good place where we go from. Because church brings the hope and the compassion and the care of the Lord Jesus into a world that needs a shepherd. Thanks, Dad. That has been the vision of Jesus Christ for his church for 2,000 years, and it hasn't changed, and it won't change until eternity. When all the things of this world are over and done, they're lying in ash, the ash heaps, a broken world, the light of the church will shine as bright as the morning. When the last bell is rung in the stock exchange and the doors of the biggest companies have closed because they're countries are no more. And Google has Googled its last factoid. And Tim Hortons has poured its last cup of coffee. And Facebook has friended or unfriended the last person
church Jesus started. The church that Jesus sanctified through his blood and clothed her beautiful like a bride dressed for her husband. Will only be beginning its beginning eternity, glowing the glory of God like the waters cover the sea. Can anyone say hallelujah? Amen.